Welcome to Amplifying Leadership. I am your host, Tara Lehman, a partner, coach, and consultant at Twin Life Coaching and Business Services, of which Amplifying Leadership is a division. This podcast is a place dedicated to amplifying your leadership through our guest stories, tips, information, and more. To learn more about our leadership division, please visit us at amplifyingleadership.ca. Today, I am welcoming Sarah Michelle Bowes, founder of Sarah Michelle NP Reviews and currently serving as a chief nursing officer at Blueprint Test Prep, plus a board member on a couple of different committees. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate your time so much.
And we have a great conversation topic today. But before we get started on that, let us know a little bit about how leadership fits into your story.
I kind of fell into leadership. So before I started my business, I worked as a nurse. And I was a pretty new nurse at the end of the day. I only spent about 5 years in nursing. So I worked in a couple of different places, mostly oncology, though, because that was my love. But I knew that one day I would love to teach. And so I spent my time in nursing actually just gathering more degrees. So I got a master's in nursing education. I got a postmaster's to become a family nurse practitioner. And so that was kind of the life path that I was on. And I thought maybe one day I would own my own practice or clinic and have a team of other nurse practitioners who worked alongside me. But that didn't end up coming to fruition because I became a nurse practitioner during COVID. And in the midst of that chaos was actually when I started Sarah Michelle NP Reviews in my business. And when my business first started, because like most people, your business is your baby at the end of the day, I got trapped in that very much beginner's mindset of like, no one can do it as well as I can do it. And I did a lot of the building on my own in the first like 6 to 8 months of the business. But what was happening is it was just growing so fast and so quickly. I had to have help, and I had to have help outside of my husband. It started with just a very small squad of humans. It was me, a virtual assistant, and another nurse practitioner who was helping me teach the life courses. But by the time that we were acquired, I had a full team of humans. And that's not only the humans that worked with me as employees, but also vendors as well. And so it's kind of an interesting leadership journey for me as I built my own business, built my own team, have worked within a bigger test prep company now, and being a C-suite employee and kind of what that entails too, especially to be doing it at 30 years old.
Yes, exactly. Especially when we're younger and we're in those higher level roles, it's stressful at the same time.
It is stressful.
Right? Yeah. Which brings us to our topic today, which is all going to be about mental health. So tell us a little bit why, as a leader and maybe as yourself with your business and, you know, in C-suite and everything now, why mental health is so important for you.
So mental health was actually a big part of my business as well, and why it was so successful, because my courses, I don't want to say had like a mental health angle, but there was definitely a mental health component to them. Because what I always told people is if you can graduate nurse practitioner school, you can absolutely pass this exam. You just have to be able to like believe in yourself and have the confidence in yourself that you can do that. And for me, as a business owner, as a leader, as a human in general, like I feel like mental health is at the core of everything we do. And, you know, if we don't feel like our best selves and we're not taking care of ourselves in that way, it really impacts every arena of your life too.
Absolutely. And I know that in leadership, I mean, I've been there myself, very stressed out, burnt out at one point many, many years ago. And we just kind of put it aside. Well, you know what? I just have to deal with it. What are some of those big mistakes that, you know, us leaders or people maybe even who are new to leadership and don't realize these big mistakes we're making when it comes to our mental health? Is it putting things aside or not recognizing it? What are your thoughts around that?
I think we're doing a really great job as just like a general culture and a collective of being more aware of mental health. I feel like if it's not at the forefront of your mind, like at least you're hearing people talk about it. There's more transparent conversation now, which I love. But as far as mistakes, and I kind of was guilty of this for a long time too, just because I didn't fully know and understand, we kind of treat mental health and self-care as a checklist item, and it is certainly not.
That is a very true thing I hear from my clients as well. Yeah, it's just a checkbox, but it's not. It's so much bigger than that.
Well, they're like, oh, I got a massage, check. Oh, I
Yeah.
got a pedicure. Like, that's my self-care. Like,
Yeah.
and for
Yeah.
me, like, when you're looking at like self-care specifically, I'm trying to find things that build my capacity and fill my cup. And getting a massage sometimes helps me have a little bit more capacity. My body's a little bit more relaxed, but it's just so much more expansive than that. Because if I'm building up my capacity to show up in the world and show up as a leader and as a human, like it just makes me a better person and able to do more for those around me too.
And I think we need those longer term tools, something that lasts a little bit longer when it comes to our self-care and mental health. You know, yes, the check boxes of massages, those can be great. They can really help you in the moment release that energy. But if we don't have some longer term tools, we're going to need a massage in 2 days, right? I mean,
Yes.
it just is going to happen again. What other types of things can we do when we consider the long-term goals around this for us as leaders, or even, let's be honest, it's tough out there. Our teams are struggling. You know, how do we make sure that we are leading by that example and showcasing our longer term tools rather than just doing the checkbox item?
I think there's a lot of layers to this. I think one, and this might sound tangenty, but I promise it comes back around, is you as a leader, but also those that you're leading, you all need to be able to define what success looks like for you, because that's how you're going to figure out what are my capacity builders and how do I need to set up my self-care and how do I view my mental health. Because, like, for me personally, success looks like to me, like having freedom of time. And people talk about that in a little bit of a cliche way sometimes, but time freedom means that I can do the podcast and I can do the meetings and I can do all the things that I want to do and feel really good and feel really passionate about. But it also means that I can spend my mornings with my daughter or I can make it to my Pilates class too. And so, kind of figuring out how to structure your time around that as well.
It's almost about boundaries, right? And
So much
creating.
about boundaries.
Yeah, and creating the boundaries for ourselves. So, how did you start to realize you needed to create these boundaries so that you could have more time with your daughter and doing other things?
You know, the big first lesson that I had in that was through hiring a business coach because I was building a business rapid fire. I don't want to say I had no idea what I was doing, but I was learning as I went. It was a massive learning curve. And so it was easy for my business because it excited me so much to just run my life. But my first business coach was kind of asked me that same question, like, what would success look like for you? And 5 years from now, what would success look like for you? And like, how would you envision your life? And how can we start making incremental changes today to get you closer to that? And so she was honestly, what she taught me was how to be a better steward of my time, too. Because
It's
that's, it
interesting.
really boils down to time.
And it's interesting you brought up the vision and then breaking it down. It's exactly what I tell my clients. Where do you want to be in 5 years? And most business owners want to be working part-time and letting the business run. And then I say, okay, that's what we're going to have as a goal. And a lot of people really can't see that, but it really does come back to what that small step can I do today that leads me towards that. And one of them is time, which you've brought up a couple of times, and I will bring it up too, because I don't know how many times time is an excuse. And I tell the people all the time, I even with a client this morning said, time doesn't change. It can't change. It's 24/7. It's about how we manage it and creating those boundaries around it to help us with our businesses or leading or in wellness, of course, right? And so when we look at the big mistakes that people are making or leaders are making, if they were looking at their teams now, how can we help our teams with the boundaries to making sure work gets done, but creating that time management and boundaries for their lives, et cetera, as a leader with our teams?
You absolutely, and I say this in the least cliche way possible, you absolutely have to lead by example. So you have to show your team your boundaries. You have to show them how you are caring for yourself and how you are showing up, and then they will be able to follow that. But if you are breaking all of your boundaries all the time and you're running meetings till 9 o'clock at night and all the things, then they're going to see that example and think that's also expected of them, whether they want to do it or not. So there's so much that you as the leader set, and there's so many eyes on you, and that's a lot of pressure, but it is what it is.
And it's funny because I say the same thing to the people too. It's all about making sure that you're not emailing people at 10 o'clock at night unless you expect that in return.
Yes.
Because if the leader does it, everybody expects that that is now the minimum expectation is that I'm replying at 10 o'clock at night. We don't want that for our people. And that's part of recognizing that as self-reflection as a leader, that we need to make sure we're leading by that example. So let me come to a question around, as a leader, how do we ensure that our teams understand that we want their mental health and self-care taken seriously? We want them to have those boundaries.
I think you just have to have the conversation. A lot of people kind of want to hush mental health a bit or just assume like, oh, like they're handling on their own. I'm handling this on my own. But what I found through building a business that was centered around mental health and me being really transparent in that is people love to feel seen and heard and validated.
Oh,
And the only
yes.
way you can do those things is by having the conversation in the first place.
I absolutely agree on that. And you're right. Like, a lot of people think the doctor is the one responsible to help our team members. But really, we need to help them too. We need to provide them with the resources. I'm sure you've told
Yes.
people, like EAPs, your employee assistance programs, like providing some resources local. Maybe there's some local counselors or free, clinics or whatever around that can help as well, right? I mean, we have to make sure they have those resources as well.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. So we now know, and this is a big conversation out there, tough times are coming this year, right?
Hard.
I think almost everybody realizes it's going to be tough and very uncertain. And so as leaders, we're trying to manage it just ourselves. And we need to do that. So how can we make sure that we stay in good mental health and that we ensure our workplace stays in good mental health while all this volatile world around us is going on?
I think it's really hard, and I think that's something we're just gonna have to kind of also figure out as we go this year. Something I talk a lot about with my team members, and it's because of my own specific mental health background. So I have obsessive compulsive disorder, which is a disorder that focuses around wanting absolute certainty all the time. And so part of that treatment is just like wrapping your head around the fact that even the things that we think are 1,000% certain are never certain anyways. And I also thought too, like once I was acquired and I moved into this new bigger test prep brand that has hundreds of employees and has it all figured out, right? Like I thought that chaos would be gone. I thought chaos was the startup culture. But what me and my team have actually been talking a lot about here recently is just chaos is a normal and expected part of the process. And when you can lean into that mindset, it makes when things feel a little bit uncertain or a little bit scary, just a little bit easier too.
And you've mentioned the word conversation a few times, which I want to bring up because I think it's really important that leaders are open and have those good conversations with everybody on their team so that they know that it's okay to be in chaos. It's okay to be
Yes.
afraid. It's okay that we're super busy. And having those open conversations. So, what would you tell a new leader maybe about how to have these open conversations with our teams where we aren't weak? We're just letting
No.
everybody know that it affects everybody, it affects the business, those types of things. How do you have those
Yeah.
conversations?
I think just leaning into vulnerability, and I know that's really hard. But what I've found over the last few years of my business is like every time that I lean more into vulnerability and I'm transparent and I'm my authentic self, the more that I'm able to show up, but also the more my employees show up for me too. Like we're a squad at the end of the day. And I think like at the core of my leadership style specifically is just human to human connection and remembering these are real human beings and they are more than their titles and they are more than their jobs and they have so many important things that are going on in their lives. So when you pause even for just 5 minutes at the beginning, at the end of the meeting, to be like, what is going on in your life? Like, what are you most excited about right now? Like, what are you scared of right now? And I very specifically ask the question too, because it varies per person. Would you like support or would you like solutions too? Because sometimes people just want to be heard and sometimes people want to brainstorm. And so being able to meet people where they're at is really important.
And I like that you bring that part of the conversation in of brainstorming or creating solutions together, because sometimes As leaders, we feel like we have the right solution, and it might be right for one person on our team, but not necessarily everywhere else, which is where that connection can come in, right? We can connect and
Yeah.
understand how does, Tara differ from Sarah when she's having a conversation, and how can we, handle them differently when needed?
Yeah.
Do you find that you have to sometimes just change how you communicate to people when it comes to, change, fears, et cetera, because you making sure that their self-care or mental health is intact?
For sure. I think it definitely depends on your the extent of your relationship. So like with a brand new employee, it might be a little bit more broad. Like, how are you feeling today? Or what are you excited about? Like maybe I won't ask them what they're scared about yet. But as more time goes on and they see how we work together as a team and how we're vulnerable together as a team, I find that they often end up leading in. And it kind of seems to be the people I attract too. I think you end up attracting people that kind of work within like you and your style as well. But the team that I've been able to create over the last few years through my business, they're an incredible batch of humans. They're really, really cool humans.
That's amazing. I'm glad to hear that. It's always great to have a good
Yeah.
team that you can have
Yeah. It
conversation
makes
with
all
because
the
it makes it
difference.
exactly. It makes it easier too to move forward.
Yes.
Okay, so let me change the subject a little, not the subject, but the conversation a little bit. If we are in an organization as a leader and there really is nothing for mental health or self-care, maybe they don't even have an EAP at this point, right? Well, how do we get started? What are your thoughts on how can I change this, or where can I start as an organization to bring mental health more to the forefront, especially now, but continuing going forward?
I've seen a really beautiful example of this through the organization that acquired mine, actually, because they are very progressive in the sense like they listen to their people. And so when someone has an idea, if it's something they can execute, they do execute. So I think
Excellent.
if you have no resources at all, the best place to start is just to ask, because the worst thing that someone can say to you is no. A great example, actually. Well, I'm related to mental health was when we were acquired, I was pregnant at the time and they only had a 4 week maternity leave. And I was like, I just don't feel like that is nearly enough for anyone out there to like give birth and then try to come back into the workforce. Like that is a lot. And so they immediately changed it to 8 weeks just based off me asking, which was incredible. And now it's up actually to 16 weeks. And so they're just
Beautiful.
listening to that feedback loop all the time. So I think even opening up the feedback loop and making the ask, because if enough people are asking, like there's opportunity for change too.
And it's interesting too when we take that feedback, and even if we can't do it, let's say it's way out of budget, whatever that case might be. As you mentioned earlier, people want to be validated, heard, and
Just
really
listen.
feel like, yeah, they want to feel like part of whatever's going on. So even if we have to say no, I'm sorry, as long as they understand why we can't. Or sometimes better yet, you can do a piece of it. Let's say so I am lucky to be up in Ontario, Canada, and we get a year to 18 months for
Yeah, 4 weeks
leave.
sounds like nothing to you, I'm sure.
I took a year off with my daughter. But if you were to say ask for a year and they gave you 16 weeks, that's still a beautiful change from the
Yes.
4 weeks that you did have, right? And if you have a C-section, at least you can heal from it, right?
Yeah, I'm just like, I need to like figure out myself as a human being, like after that experience. I don't think after 4 weeks I was there.
But at least when we ask, even if they can't do everything we want, maybe they consider partials, right? Again,
Pieces.
opening that conversation and feeling heard. So, do you really feel then that feeling welcomed, feeling heard, feeling validated or valued, those are the key pieces that maybe somebody who doesn't have anything needs to start with?
Absolutely, because when I think back to the jobs that I hated, because there were some jobs I hated, it was always places that I didn't feel seen or heard. And so I think even just like that small little piece, even just like we've talked about a couple of times, having the conversation can be really monumental in someone, how someone feels about their jobs, but also how they feel about themselves.
And I think I'll add too, if you're in a massive organization, You may not be heard by the top, but if you can go to your leader and be heard, that can really help. So then leaders, you can take that to the next level on their behalf if needed, right? I mean, there's still a
Absolutely.
way. And as leaders, we can make our team, whatever part of a massive organization it may be, feel very valued and heard, and you know that they mean something to us, right?
Yeah.
So let me ask you this. If you could leave our listeners with that next step or that one piece of advice before we wrap up today, what would you say that is? What is that mental health, self-care piece of advice for our leaders?
You know, the very first thing that comes to mind when I hear that question is to not trap yourself in a box as a leader. Because I had this just like undercurrent of thoughts because I am so young. I mean, I started my business when I was 25. I'm still just a
Wow.
baby. So I'm like, I'm too young to be a leader. I'm not educated enough. I don't have the training. I don't have all those things. But what I really feel about leadership too is a lot of it is lived experience, and you're going to trial and error a bit, and you're going to see what works for you and what doesn't work, because what might work beautifully for you and your team is not going to work the same for me and my team. And so there's a little bit of finesse in figuring out too. So it kind of goes back into that, like, chaos is a normal and expected part of the process as well, and you're going to learn as you go, and that is totally 100% okay.
It's okay to make mistakes, right? As long as you keep
Yes.
trying and trying again. I always say the
Yeah, you
light
just keep
bulb
trying to
was
be
never
better.
invited. It was never done the first time, right? Like the light bulb took how
Yeah.
many, 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 many times, I'm sure. And our development is the same way,
For sure.
right? Excellent. Thank you so much for sharing a little bit more about mental health for our leaders, especially in organizations. If somebody wants to learn more about you or connect with you somewhere, how can they do that online?
I think the easiest places are my website, which is sarahmichellebose.com, but also on Instagram or LinkedIn as well. I have a pretty big LinkedIn presence at the moment. That's where I'm putting a lot of my focus and kind of working out my own thought leadership and how I want to show up and kind of my identity post-acquisition too. So that's a fun place to follow along.
Excellent. And just for the last name, it's Boes,
Yes,
because
thank
some
you.
people might have the W in there. That's okay. Thank you so much for a great conversation today.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Thank you to our audience as well, of course. We hope you were able to gain some valuable information or some tips today if this is new for you. If you are a leader that knows that leadership coaching and development are the way to grow in your leadership journey, or perhaps you want to learn more about our Rise to Leadership program, please visit us at amplifyingleadership.ca, a Twin Life Coaching and Business Services division. Until next time, remember, leadership matters.